Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us now from the British Isles, Mr. Neil Herron. We're going to be talking about metric martyrs and of course, all the problems that are developing in Great Britain because of this move to take away British national sovereignty, destroy the heritage of Great Britain, this once great nation, and merge it into this coming European Union, which, of course, is aimed at the first step along the creation of this one world authoritarian government, taking away local and representative government and placing the power in the hands of an unelected bureaucracy. Of course, you'll have elected representatives, but they're really not interested in what your elected representatives want. There is an agenda behind this whole thing: a new world order, a new world economic system, a new eventual world currency, and of course, a new world religion. Mr. Herron, thank you so very much for being with us today.
It's great to be here.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about this metric martyrs or metric madness that you have over there in Great Britain today?
Well, it's a long, long story. I was a fishmonger and a greengrocer, and I was just going about my daily business, and a shop full of staff and lots of customers. I came back to my shop one day, and there was a man with a little pair of glasses and a shiny suit, and he said, "Mr. Herron, those scales are illegal. If you don't get rid of them in 28 days, then we will come back and take them off you." And I said, "Well, who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm the trading standards official, and you must now sell in metric."
Now, in other words, what they want to do is do away with the pound system and away with inches and yards and things like that. Everything is to be metric. We're all to be the same all throughout the world. But now, this has to do with forcing the people in Great Britain to go along with the dictates of the European Union. Is that it?
That's correct. But the problem in Britain was that the government forgot to tell the country. And they tried to do it by stealth, by harassment and intimidation. At the shopkeeper end of it, yes, but to metricate the whole country, a very difficult decision to do. So it has to be done stage by stage, step by step, and the first stage was to have a go at all the shopkeepers.
And so, of course, you were targeted, and so what happened? Did you change your scales?
I threw the gentleman out of the shop by the scruff of his neck.
I see, but of course, these people have the power. They're vicious little people, and of course, they're going to force you to do what they want to do. We saw here in the community I live yesterday, a major hit squad come to close down a small low-powered radio station isn't doing anybody any harm. I mean, we have criminals coming across our borders every day. We can't control our borders, but they can have a whole SWAT team come to our community to get somebody who isn't going along with the edicts of the bureaucrats.
Well, probably the same, but there was no SWAT team came back, and what I did was wrote an article for the local press and just highlighted the fact that here we were being compulsorily metricated without the country having the first idea about what was happening.
And so what happened in response to this? Because, you see, the average person in Great Britain doesn't want to give up their sovereignty, do they?
Well, the sovereignty is too remote an issue for everybody in the country, but what painted a nice, neat little picture for them was when we started to say, "Well, wait a minute, you're going to have your system of measurement taken off you." And they then started to relate how you could take a system of measurement away, and then relate it back to the issue of who governs Britain.
But, of course, the thing is, everything is being done by stealth. These people are dishonest, and it's just happening here in the United States. The average American wants to be free, but they don't understand. Somebody has a different agenda. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Neil Herron from Great Britain to share his experience. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And with us on the line from Great Britain is Mr. Neil Heron, who is a shopkeeper over there. And what happened to him was, of course, one day the bureaucrats come in and announce that his scales, he has to change his scales from pounds to metric because, of course, everybody has to conform. Now, in Great Britain, traditionally, they've had, pounds and ounces and they've had yards and miles. No, we can't do this. We've all got to be uniform. And what they want to do is use the coercion of government to force you to go along. As a shopkeeper, you can't do what you've always done. Oh, no, this is the new world. And of course, it's going to be in every aspect of our lives. It's happening in England today as they unify their society. It's going to happen here because there really are wicked and evil people who have a different agenda, who have a different version, who want to control every aspect of our lives. So, Mr. Heron, what happened after you began to write articles and people begin to find out what these people, what these scoundrels are up to?
What happened shortly after that? The article went in the local press and basically we said that it was shortly after the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, had just announced the birth weight of his son, Leo, £6.12. And so if it was good enough for him to use the system, well, it was good enough for me to serve my customers. And a few days after that, I got a phone call from a greengrocer in another market in Sunderland, and it was Stephen Thorburn, and he said, "Can you come and help me? They've been in with police officers and taken away three sets of scales." And that was the day that the authorities stepped over the line. The first time that a shopkeeper was criminalised. Ultimately, when I went to court, he was given a criminal record for selling a pound of bananas.
And, of course, how is it that it's all right for Tony Blair to have pounds and ounces, not all right for the shopkeepers to have it? Did you? I'm sure you must have pointed out that inconsistency.
Yeah. It's quite all right to use it in language and in free speech, but you couldn't use the system of measurement for trade. So as Mr. Blair wasn't selling babies or weighing babies, he was just talking about them, he was okay.
All right, fine. So then basically what happened to this poor fellow who sold the bananas, his crime, a terrible crime, he sold a pound of bananas. So
yes,
what happened to him?
Well, it was actually, he sold a pound of bananas, and when we appeared in court, I was there to help defend Stephen, not legally trained whatsoever, but he needed a hand, and we said, right, we're going to go for this, and we'll defend ourselves. And they actually then had to give evidence from the undercover trading standards officer who went in undercover to buy a pound of bananas to make sure. I mean, Mr. Thorburn, being a typical greengrocer, was shouting, "Come on, ladies, who wants 2 pounds of bananas for 50 pence? He wasn't hiding the fact.
Hold that thought for just a moment here as we bring our other stations on. So this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Neil Heron. He's from Great Britain. So they're sending undercover agents in. Now, remember, we're in a war with terrorism, America, Great Britain, in a war on terrorism, but they're using their undercover agents not to infiltrate Al-Qaeda and the terrorists. They are sneaking into grocery stores to find out if they are selling in pounds or in kilograms. So pick up the story from there, Mr. Heron. Of course, there was another gentleman who had actually was arrested and taken to court because he sold a pound of bananas. He should have been selling them by the kilo. They had somebody infiltrate his store to get the evidence on him. So here they're using the facilities of the government to go after people for petty little things of this sort, but it is all part of a much bigger plan. So pick up the story there, please, Neil.
Well, like you say, part of the bigger plan. We ended up in court, and Steve was given a criminal conviction. And the world's press were there outside the court, and it stirred up such a fury that here in Britain, that a man could be given a criminal record for selling a pound of bananas, nobody could actually believe it. So the nation implored Stephen to appeal. And bear in mind that we had the government that was taking us to court with barristers, QCs, and the biggest legal teams you could imagine against a couple of market traders. The nation just said, right, lads, you're going to fight? We're behind you. And the money started to pour in. The £5 and £10 really poured in. And within a week of announcing Steve was going to appeal, there was over £100,000 came in.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and I think that shows that the average English citizen is a good person. He wants to keep his sovereignty. He thinks this is foolishness. He really doesn't understand that there truly are diabolical forces behind this, and of course they're led in England, of course, in part by Tony Blair, but this goes right up to the very highest levels of your government. And both political parties, I'm sure, well aware.
Both political parties are complicit in the whole end game, which is the creation of a United States of Europe to do away with the nation state and turn us into one nation called Europe.
And of course, the same thing is happening here in the United States, where both the Democrats and the Republicans are pushing the CAFTA and the free trade zone of the Americas, of course, to do away with American national sovereignty. But they can't tell the American people any more than they could tell the people of Great Britain what these wicked and evil people are up to, because this is going to change everything. It's going to do away with representative government. And the whole goal, really, is to create a platonic type of society with a ruling elite, a massive military that will monitor everybody and everybody else under their control. That's the plan. It was laid out by Plato. You'll find the same thing in Bertrand Russell's writings and in George Bernard Shaw's writings and in Beatrice and Sidney Webb's writings and in H.G. Wells' writing. They've laid it all out. It's just the trouble is most people never bother to read those things. So anyway, what happened now? Did you eventually win the case?
No. We went to appeal, and the judge actually made a judgment which had every constitutional lawyer scratching their heads. And basically created the novel concept of hierarchical statutes where some acts of Parliament are more important than others.
Now, of course, did Parliament ever make this law into a law?
It was a directive which came from the European Union, and it was nodded through Parliament. It didn't go through full Parliament. If you're going to change the nation's system of measurement, at least have the decency and the courage to tell that nation and put it in a party political manifesto. It was nodded through a select committee of 14 MPs who decided in 21 minutes that this would become law, and it was just nodded through Parliament the following day. So nobody had been told, and it was deferred for 5 years, so nobody who was responsible would actually be guilty of saying, oh, you were guilty of this, it was too far long gone.
And I think that's really such a clever technique, because we see this happening in Washington, D.C. today. The congressmen and the senators all doing all the wrong things, and then they're going to retire before the devil to pay, as you might say.
That's right, yeah.
Well, anyway, of course, then what was the terrible crime, what happened to this this terrible criminal who sold a pound of bananas?
Well, Stephen continued to trade. He was joined in the courts. We consolidated the cases. There were four other traders who joined him. So five people were found guilty and ended up with criminal records.
And what happened to them? Were they fined? Were they imprisoned? Were they brought in quarters?
That is where we get down to the nitty-gritty. If they'd have fined these gentlemen, they would have refused to pay the fines and they would have ended up in prison. If they'd have given them anything other than, the maximum they could give them was a fine, but if they refused to pay the fine, they would end up in prison. So what they did was hit us with a massive costs order, which was £150,000.
£150,000. For daring to sell things in pounds. What they're using is the power of government then to intimidate the people.
Oh, the almighty power of government to threaten the little guy, using sledgehammers to crack nuts here. And there was no need for it, because if the nation was going to go metric, it would do so organically with the younger generation coming through. But they don't do that, because this is the language of the street, the language of the people. And if you ask anybody how tall they are, they would never in this country give their heights or weights in metric. So it's about language. But after that, we decided we were going to appeal to the European Court of Human Rights, ironically. And the funny thing in all of this is, in between the campaign and the verdict, we actually won the European Union's European Campaigners of the Year Award.
Now, of course, let me just point out that the group that Mr. Heron belongs to is actually has been running candidates for the European Parliament, and didn't you actually win a significant part of the vote among the good people of Great Britain?
Yes, I stood in the European elections just some months back and got 40,000 votes. I mean, in the big scheme of things, it was too difficult, because what begins, we had to compete in a constituency of 1.9 million people, and with very, very little funding, it was an impossible task. But we have to still remain the thorn in the side of government. Now, going back, the European Court of Human Rights didn't even look at the case, and they threw the case out. But the guys still continue to trade, they still continue to defy the law, as do over 40,000 traders across the country. And would you believe that in 4 years since these metrication regulations have come in, there have only been five convictions and billions of offences committed? Because every time there is a potential court case. We get involved, and it becomes a cause célèbre in the local community, and the authorities tend to drop the case.
In other words, basically, when there's enough people understand what this is about, then they back away because they don't want the public to know the truth. They do not want to know what this is all about. It's about eventually taking away overall freedom. But of course, they go two steps forward and one step back and two steps forward, one step back. What happened to the fine of £150,000?
Well, we've actually raised enough money to cover all the costs. So they're trying to use costs as a weapon to put us out of business, and the British public rallied again, and the fivers and the tenors came in, and we paid the fine, and we still continue. We're always looking over our shoulder for funding, but we still continue to fight.
Well, how about just using some of that money to get those politicians out of office? Because the one thing a lot of these politicians, they aren't dedicated to the right or the left, they're dedicated to staying there, and all
That's
the perks
right.
and all the advantages. Why not just start targeting them individually? Put all your funds, this is what we're doing in California with David Dreyer, used to be a conservative in Southern California, U.S. Congressman, good conservative, eventually had been there too long, joined the Council on Foreign Relations, betrayed his constituents, and they've targeted him in Southern California. California, and of course, they're funneling money in to get this fellow out to make an example of him, and I certainly hope that they're successful. Have you thought of doing that over there?
Dr. Stan, that is the strategy. We have to fight effectively as political guerrillas now. We can't take on the might of government head on, so what you do is you handpick. We have 659 elected representatives in Westminster. Now, each one of them is vulnerable in their own constituency. And what you do is you target them in their own constituencies, and that is where a politician becomes frightened of losing the pension, losing the job, losing the perks, losing the smoked salmon canapes and everything that goes with it.
Smoked salmon, huh?
Oh, yes, they do get. You do not go to a buffet arranged by an MP or any local authority and not have smoked salmon canapes present.
Well, I can see being afraid of the perks and the other things, but I'm glad that I hope they lose their smoked salmon specifically. Anyway, the group is there, and it's a growing group. There are more and more people that are becoming aware of the fact that this what's really going on. Now, how are you getting the information out? Because, the information there, the BBC is pretty well controlled, isn't it?
Oh, the BBC is totally stitched up. And it's very, very difficult with the local press and the media and the national press and media to get the stories out, but we've got some very, very sympathetic journalists, and what we have to do is use our wit and guile to engineer stories to get them in the press.
And of course, this is really what's so important, and I really applaud what you're doing there, and I just hope that we can find enough people in America who value freedom as much as the English people do. It seems that here in America, we're so affluent, we have it so good, and the government's going to take care of us, and don't speak out, don't rock the boat, everything's going to turn out all right, and I don't think it's going to turn out all right.
No, but democracy's like health. When you've got it, you don't know, but it's when you start to lose it that you start to realize and appreciate how good that democracy was. And we're at the stage now where we're starting to lose it. I mean, one of the angles we used when Tony Blair said that we weren't going to get a referendum on the European Constitution because the government would decide that one, we set up another organization called Referendum 04. And we forced the government into a U-turn, and we got that referendum.
And what happened when you had the referendum? How did it go?
Well, we haven't had it yet. What's going to happen is that the rest of Europe are going to decide, and Blair will sit on the fence and wait until somebody else says no before giving us a referendum. Because he knows if he went to a referendum on the European Constitution, he would lose.
And I think this is the thing our listeners have to understand, is they really don't care what the people want. They have to find some means of getting around it. Here, I think most people in America really are against the war in Iraq, but it doesn't matter. Both political parties support it. Most people here are in favor of maintaining our sovereignty, because this is what globalism is all about, is the destruction of sovereignty. But the politicians have their own agenda. And, of course, all we can do, well, let's hope we have the courage of the English. We'll be back here in just a moment, Neil. And of course, we'll invite calls from out across America if you have a question or comment. Because if we don't learn from the people in Great Britain, why we're going to lose our freedom here. There is a plan. There is an agenda. The other side knows what they're doing. They just don't want us to know.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Neil Herron, and he's with this group over in Great Britain that is fighting this effort to destroy the sovereignty of their nation. Now, here in the United States, most people are just going along, oh, everything's going to be just fine, or they're so distracted by the multitude of things. And, of course, you have to understand they're playing games with our mind. On one hand, of course, we see the terrible tragedy of what's going on in Iraq, but that's simply being used as a distraction to keep us from seeing that we're losing our sovereignty here at home. And if our attention is focused overseas or on the elections or the other things, the other people, they know exactly what they're doing. And of course, step by step, they will be eroding our sovereignty here in the United States as we impoverish the American people, setting our jobs, our manufacturing base, and of course, our money, our wealth of our nation is being transferred to other nations as part of this internationalist dream of the globalists who believe in the New World Order, the New World Economic System, the New World Currency, which it would be coming down the line, and of course the New World Religion. Well, Neil, over there in Europe, what about the common currency? They're trying to get a common currency on the continent. Has England agreed to go into the common currency?
Not a chance. There is not a chance that we will surrender our currency, and the government knows that that is the step too far. And the statistics and the figures are running at the minute, probably 65 to 75% who would reject the idea of a single currency. And the only way they could take us into the single currency is by the back door, by deceiving us into signing up for the Constitution, and then with the Constitution eventually the currency would become mandatory.
And, of course, the thing is that they're really going to push for this constitution if they possibly can. Now, what's happening on the continent? I know when I studied a couple of the countries over there, they want to maintain their sovereignty as nations as well. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to force them into it. And once you go in, there's really no retreat, is there?
Once you go in and surrender your gold reserves and your currency reserves, you're finished as a nation. But the problem is that the people across Europe are starting to realize that they've been deceived by the whole project. It's a political project, not an economic project, and the intention, as I said, is to create one United States of Europe. And the masses across Europe are starting to get angry about what's being done, because the European Union has been created without the democratic consent or without the democratic will, and there is no European demos. We don't think like Europeans. We are British, and the French are French, and the Germans are German. You're losing your sovereignty slice by slice, and it's the salami slice approach which has ended up with us at this stage, because when we joined the common market, as it was called then, in 1972, we were told we were joining a free trade area. We were lied to.
It's just sort of like here in the United States where they said, oh, you know, look at all those people down south of the border there in Mexico. Every one of them will be certainly a customer for our cars and our television sets and our refrigerators. And, oh, look at all the money we're going to make if we just open up our borders. And they lied to us just like they're lying to you.
Yeah, I mean, even if we withdrew from the European Union, Mercedes would continue to sell us cars. So would BMW, the French would still sell us wine, and the Belgians would still sell us chocolates. Trade is what makes the world go round,
right?
Not politics.
But unfortunately, they have their own agenda, and of course, really, of course, here in the United States, it was to justify lowering our living standards, but we can't tell the American people that. How has the British people fared with this common European market that you've gone into so far as the trade is concerned? Has this really strengthened your economy, or is your economy weakened?
The economy's doing really well anyway, and over the past 30, 35 years while we've been in the common market, we've had an unparalleled series of growth, and we've become a wealthier nation, but the world has become a better place and more affluent. And in our country, most people have two cars, video recorders, TVs in every room, and go back 30 years, we didn't have that. So the loss of your democracy hasn't been apparent, because we've been doing okay, thank you very much.
Well, I really think, of course, as long as they can keep you affluent enough, we're going to be worried. As long as things are doing well, why, everybody's going to go along with the system. It's when things really turn bad, which they will eventually, because, of course, Germany, we find out that they're going to have to cut back on all the social welfare programs they promised, and so will Great Britain, because here in America, we've got a debt of $72 trillion, that's T-trillion dollars, for all the things we promised that we have no way to pay. I suspect the same thing's going to be happening in Great Britain. They just don't want you to know until it's too late.
That's right.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Neil Herron, who's calling us from Great Britain. What part of Great Britain?
We actually live in Sunderland, which is the northeast.
All right, fine. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you see the similarity between what's happening overseas, what's happening here? Well, of course, it's all part of the same plan, simply different parts of the same plan. But if you don't connect the dots, why, of course, you're going to be run over and destroyed. And freedom, as we've known it, will simply become a remembrance of things past.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hi, my name is Michael Anthony Perugia, and I approved of this ad. I'm seeking the presidential nomination of the Constitution Party, and one of the reasons I'm running is to put the interest of American workers first, which President Bush is not doing. Mr. Bush has advocated an immigration plan that would let millions of illegal aliens stay in our country, and the chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors has praised what is called outsourcing, which will send millions of American jobs overseas. In other words, Mr. Bush is importing illegal cheap labor and exporting good-paying jobs that should stay in America. Well, this makes no sense. Such policies are outrageous at a time when so many Americans are looking for jobs and want to work. The sad fact is that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are looking out for American workers first. As president, I would put our people first. I hope you'll look at my webpage, perutka2004.com, that's P-E-R-O-U-T-K-A 2004.com, and remember, you never waste your vote when you vote for what's right.
Authorized and paid for by Perutka 2004.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Neil Herron, and he is with a group of people over there in Great Britain who are very, very concerned about the impending loss of national sovereignty. And, of course, Tony Blair has this agenda. He's not going to, of course, bring out what this is really all about, but he is an internationalist. He and, of course, the leaders of both of our political parties are dedicated to exactly this same program, and that is the New World Order, the New World Economic System, currency, and the New World Religion. But the people there, certainly in England, don't want it, and I suspect there are an awful lot of people on the continent that don't want it. And as we were saying before we went to the break, why, in for instance, in Germany, they're suddenly telling the people, we're not going to be able to afford to give you all these wonderful benefits we promised when you retire. We're going to take care of you and give you your health care, and we're going to have to start cutting back on this. You're going to have to start paying for some of your own health care, and a lot of the people there are pretty unhappy. And of course, the same thing is happening in some of the other European countries. In fact, the same thing is happening here in America, where they're beginning to increase the fees dramatically for Medicare, which, of course, were never supposed to be much of anything. It was all going to be taken care of by the government, and now why they suddenly find we have $72 trillion deficit. We have no means of paying it, no means in the world, and, of course, they're going to have some other means of dealing with it, either getting rid of the old people or impoverishing the old people or maybe simply destroying the value of our currency and starting it all over again. But people can't imagine that sort of thing can happen. Well, you know, is there a growing awareness then across the country? Are you getting more people who are willing to get involved with you, getting the truth out?
Yeah, that's what's starting to happen now. People are starting to realize that they've been betrayed by their own elected representatives. And the only way this can be changed is by the will of the people. And the people are actually starting to stand up. We've got pensioners who are standing up against council tax rises, prepared to go to prison. We've got motorists who are incensed about the fuel tax rises, who will blockade the roads. And people are starting to get angry, and they're starting to realise that we need to get back to, we are the dog, and we'll wag the tail. And for too long, the politicians have been the tail wagging the dog.
Well, I think that's really encouraging to hear. Now, of course, here in the United States, when we had the demonstration before the Republican National Convention, they really were very violent with the people who dared, even people walking along the sidewalk who weren't demonstrators at all. I mean, they were arrested and thrown, had their shoulders dislocated. They used violence against them to intimidate them. Have they tried to bring anything out over in Great Britain, or is that sort of against philosophy?
No, it's just recently happened. Demonstration against fox hunting. Fox hunting's been banned.
Fox hunting, right.
Yeah, it's gone through Parliament. Now you've got massive swathes of the countryside who hunt. And it's not necessarily the rich people who do it, the working class people who hunt as well. And you have the metropolitan liberal elite who've decided to ban fox hunting. And we saw some really angry and violent clashes outside the Palace of Westminster. And people were being physically abused by the police.
Well, of course, now are the police willing to go along with this? Are they simply told this is what they have to do? I would think that the police are part of your population. They're part of your English heritage as well.
Yeah, that's the trouble. You've got conflicting opinions within the police force. You've got the grassroots police force who realise that policing should be the way it is, and then you've got a different agenda working in the police force that is the political tool.
And, of course, if it can be used to stifle dissent, if as long as it's not a violent protest, I mean, in England, your traditions, as with our traditions, is that the people have the right to demonstrate and redeem it, when they have a grievance. I mean, that was one of the ideas that we got from Great Britain, and it is encompassed in our First Amendment to our Constitution. But it appears that we have politicians who really don't believe in that. They want an authoritarian society. As long as the people keep quiet, it's all right. If not, we're going to hit you over the head and break your skull.
Oh, yes, you must be assimilated. I mean, to go to the extent of prosecuting greengrocers and giving them criminal offences and daring them to speak out, at least the guy who started the whole thing off, who was the first man to be prosecuted, had the courage to stand up and say, no, this is not right, and regardless of the consequences, I will stand up and fight. And we'll say, Dr. Stan, Stephen Thorburn, who was the first metric martyr, and he became the symbol of a national icon for doing that. He died of a massive heart attack in March, age 39, and he'll never be forgotten by everybody in this country for actually making that stand.
But I think that really it's amazing that when the politicians, the cowards, as it were, saw that there was opposition, they began to run for cover, and although it's still against the law, why, we're not going to prosecute you for this terrible crime of selling bananas in pounds.
Yeah, the politicians are the biggest cowards. They do not like being confronted by a population that asks difficult questions, never mind is forthright and forceful. They just do not like to be confronted. That is the way we will change society, by actually standing up and challenging the politicians.
Well,
that's why I'm just an independent guy. I have no fantastic means to support myself, but I've been prepared to stand up and enter the political arena. And what a murky world that is.
But you can say that again.
Oh, I called the politicians in the Northeast. I said that they'd come from the primordial soup, and didn't half drive a reaction from them.
Well, of course, as this thing continues, and of course more and more people begin to understand that this is part of simply forcing somebody else's agenda on the people of Great Britain, just as here in America, they are forcing somebody else's agenda on us. Well, of course, we've got our war over in Iraq. That distracts us, a wonderful distraction, so that we don't see step by step, little bit by little bit, why, of course, they are taking away our freedom. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Mr. Heron. He's on the front lines of this battle in Great Britain and associated with a group of very courageous people. And some of these people, I think we have a member of Parliament who's going to be appearing on our program here in a few weeks, Frederick Forsyth, a well-known international writer. In fact, my secretary was so excited because she told me that she had read Mr. Frederick Forsyth's novels when she was in high school. And, of course, he's going to be coming on our program, and he's associated with you. So we've got people from every walk of life in Great Britain who value freedom, who understand that England, it was the ideas of freedom in England that, of course, inspired our American Revolution. As they were taking away the rights here, the king, King George was, and he was just an autocrat, and of course many people in England were furious with him for what he had done, because the heritage of freedom had been so deeply ingrained in the English people. And this was even back at the time of the American Revolution, and Edmund Burke got up and really actually championed the American Revolution against his own government, saying, you know, what you're doing is absolutely wrong. And I think there are a lot of English people who have regretted it ever since then. But we have a common language, we have a common heritage, we have a common religion, and of course it's about time that we begin to understand that the people are our allies, not the government, but the people. Well, you know, certainly... Now, you were getting articles published. The people over there in Great Britain, do they listen to shortwave, American shortwave? Do they get onto the internet and get information that way? How do you communicate among yourselves?
The internet is a fantastic tool, and the new campaigning tool is actually the Blogspot.
Tell us about that.
Well, the Blogspot is effectively a daily diary chronology of events, and you've got gossip, rumor, news stories, breaking news stories, and You can just keep it as a diary, and we're getting thousands of hits a day.
In other words, this is your website, or at least the group you're working with.
Yes, well, it's my personal one, which is effectively the group's blog site. And it's got the daily gossip and everything which is going on there in the news. It's a wonderful tool, and it's something, the internet is the most powerful campaigning tool that you can have. You've got instant information at your fingertips, and to do research, how people manage before the internet, I do not know.
Well, I think we're indeed very, very fortunate, because, of course, here in the United States, while the media has been controlled for many years, people didn't understand that just a few major corporations controlled everything, and today we have all of our media, five major corporations, Viacom, Vivendi, Time Warner, Disney, Murdoch, those five corporations control probably 90% of the major outlets here in the United States. We do have the internet, we do have shortwave, we do have internet radio, and we can reach if the people out there care and are really, of course, are willing to get involved. So in Great Britain, they're getting involved this way, and of course, I hope, Neil, that you mention them, our programs at RadioLiberty.com, although many of those are very, very late. We actually have much earlier programs on AmericanNewsNet.com, and certainly on GCNLive.com, that we have another program probably very early in the morning over there on RadioLiberty.com. But let's go right now to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thanks, gents. I'd like to ask if you had anything like we've had over here, where you mentioned the blog spots, where, with the major parties, that is, where they try to pawn off as a blog what is not, because you can't respond to the blog.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Roger.
Right. Well, Roger, you can actually respond and interact with what we're doing, and you can email us. The blog spot which we use is www.neilharron, that's HERRON.blogspot.com. You can get in touch with us through that.
Yeah, I just mean our Republican Party, of course, tried to pawn off a blog that was not, because you couldn't respond. That was all. God bless, Jensen.
All right, fine.
All right.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our guest is Neil Herron. And would you like to give that that website just one more time?
Right, the website is www.neilherron, N-E-I-L-H-E-R-R-O-N dot blogspot.
How do you spell blogspot?
B-L-O-G-S-P-O-T dot com.
All right.
But if you type Northeast No Campaign, Metric Martyrs into Google, then you come straight to us anyway.
All right.
We're not difficult to find if you type in Metric Martyrs.
M-A-R-T-Y-R-S, and Metric Martyrs. Of course, these are the real criminals out there who want to sell things, you know, in pounds. This is part of a gigantic campaign, and it's really aimed at the reality. What they want is for everybody to be uniform, everybody, of course, to use exactly the same means of measurement. But this is part of the bringing everybody under common control, and that's really the common denominator behind it. Now, what's happening with the European Parliament? Is it going along with the agenda, or is it in any position to stand up and say, we're not going to go along with what the elite want?
No, the European Parliament is a democratic fig leaf. The Commission and the unelected bureaucrats are the ones who control the show. They make the rules, they impose the laws, and they are rubber stamped by national parliaments.
All right, so really it's the bureaucracy that does it, just exactly as it happens in the United States. Our elected representatives only really go along, but the bureaucrats what really runs it. And whether the Democrats are there or the Republicans are there, I mean, congressmen come and congressmen go, but the bureaucracy goes on forever.
Yeah, it's still the same, and it does not reflect the will of the people. Because if you're living in a democracy, you must have laws that have the consent of that democracy, and these most certainly didn't. What the intention is to do now, and this is where the actual physical campaign which we're involved in at the minute, it is the intention to regionalise Great Britain into small administrative units and eventually bypass National Parliament in Westminster. So these small administrative units will deal directly with Brussels. And in the northeast of England, there is a referendum on November the 4th to create an elected regional assembly. And really, it's just the amount of lies, spin and deceit which has gone to create this is incredible. We were actually the lead no campaign. We were the only no campaign for 2 years. And the yes and the no campaigns are funded by the government. And what happened is that there was a political party set up another no campaign just 2 months ago. And the referee, the Electoral Commission as they're called, which is supposed to be independent of government, actually gave the money to a political party.
So that's what's known as impartial.
Well, they are the referee in this, but they've had the pee taken out of the whistle.
Well, I think that's so important that people understand that they're really not interested in democracy. That is that is the veneer. That is to make
that's
you
right,
think you
yeah.
have something to say. But they're going to go around this any way they can. And the only thing that's going to stop this is when the people understand what is at stake. And that is their freedom, their future, their finances, and their families. Well, of course, I really appreciate so very much what you're doing over there. And, of course, now, when will these regional elections be held? Are they already starting to hold them, or will they be held soon?
No, the first one has been conducted in the Northeast.
Right.
They were going to hold three, but they dropped two because the government knew that they would definitely lose, and they thought that the Northeast, which the government has a very, very big majority in the Northeast, it's effectively a one-party state, and they expected the resistance to come from the opposition political party, who are a minority in the Northeast. And we set up the resistance which came from the people, and they didn't know how to handle that, because we weren't of any political affiliation, we were just of the people. And what happened was that the only way they could stop us was to take away the funding, or the potential funding, so they were as corrupt as you could be in doing that. But surprisingly, the result is going to be announced on November the 5th.
Now, has the election been held yet, or what?
It's held on November the 4th.
All right.
And the result will be declared on November the 5th, which just happens to be Guy Fawkes Night.
Would you tell our listeners what Guy Fawkes is? Because, you know, most people over here don't know what that is. But that was a man who was very unhappy with the government, wasn't he?
He went to argue with the government, and he decided 350 years ago, with the gunpowder plot, to put a great deal of dynamite and gunpowder under the Houses of Parliament to blow all the politicians up. He was caught. But he's remembered every year on November the 5th, where funeral pyres are lit and bonfires across the country, and we have firework displays, and we remember the man who nearly got there.
And, of course, what this is a constant reminder to the politicians there in Parliament that, of course, the people still value their freedom in Great Britain. We don't have anything quite comparable here in America. Unfortunately, the people have to become too docile, too accepting, too dependent upon government, whereas in Great Britain there is that tradition, this desire for freedom, which is really, I think, characterized by Guy Fawkes Day.
Well, Dr. Stan, we're a very, very tolerant nation. If you strike us once, we'll turn the other cheek. Strike us the second time and we'll say, I do apologize, sir, I must have bumped into your fist. Strike us a third time and you're flat on your back and it's don't mess with us anymore.
Well, God bless you for all you're doing, Neil. And I do look forward to hearing what happens there on the 4th of November, reported on the 5th of November. Please be in touch with us and talk to Robert. And, of course, our listeners out there, Robert is the man who's scheduling all these programs for us, and we do appreciate that. So maybe we can get you back again sometime.
That'd be great. I'll keep you posted with all developments. And good luck to Frederick Forsyth. He's a great man as well.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye. And, Chris, our guest this evening has been Neil Herron. What a unique opportunity. We'll be speaking to a member of Parliament who is fighting this system. But remember, their fight is our fight. Freedom is one ball of wax. And, of course, if England falls, and believe me, there are people who want a dictatorship. You only have to read their platform, read what they say, read the writings of Bertrand Russell, read the writings of George Bernard Shaw, read the writings of H.G. Wells and of Sidney and Beatrice Webb. Understand, they want an authoritarian society, and as Shaw said, and if you're found unworthy of all of our efforts, we'll put you to death in a kindly manner.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
The Midwest Gift and Fudge House manufactures the best fudge in the world. They've discovered a secret recipe and it allowed them to actually make the creamiest and most delicious fudge you're going to find anywhere. They also have a sugar-free type of fudge that has a great creamy taste and yet is safe for diabetics. The fudge is made daily and there are over 30 to 40 different flavors in the store every single day. Midwest Fudge makes a perfect gift for any occasion and makes even a better treat for you. It's shipped out daily, so you're always guaranteed the freshest fudge. So why not place your order by calling 866-526-5419. That's 866-526-5419. Or visit their website at www.worldfamousfudge.com. That's worldfamousfudge.com. Your order will be shipped out the next day. And, of course, they're open 7 days a week. Why don't you stop by and visit them there from 9 in the morning until 9 in the evening? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you about the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. This is a wonderful means of teaching your children at home and getting them out of government schools. The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is designed to give excellence in education. It's a program. It's on 22 CDs designed to take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation, and it costs $199.95. You actually get the lesson plans, you get the tests, you get the answers to the tests, you get all of the textbooks except for the Saxon math textbooks, a wonderful way to educate your children. Let me recommend this to you. Dr. Robinson used this program on his own children. The Robinson Homeschool Program is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you love your children, get them out of government school just as soon as possible. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I want to tell you that we have a lot of things about this move towards world government. To understand what this is really about, you need to get our Secret Government 4-tape set or the Secret Government Special, because behind this whole move towards world government are sinister, diabolical, satanic forces. And, of course, the ultimate goal is a one-world government that will be ruled by the Antichrist. They know exactly what they're doing. This has been the goal of the mystery religions since the time of ancient antiquity. This has always been their goal, the objective, and we are living at the most exciting times of the world as we're seeing this whole thing come to pass. And we have an obligation to oppose this. I believe God has put us here to take a stand against this organized evil and to expose it. And whether we'll be able to succeed or not, I don't know. But I know we're called to do what's right. And in the process, I hopefully will bring many people into a personal relationship with our Lord. So we do hope many want to get the Secret Government 4-tape set or the Secret Government special, or certainly to understand the Vietnam War. You can't understand what's going on in Iraq unless you understand we never went into Vietnam to win. We went there to fight a war as a great diversion, a diversion to keep us from noticing that at that time we were bringing in the Great Society, we were opening the immigration gates so they could bring in all sorts of people from other cultures and other languages. You see, it was all to make us into a multicultural society. That's why they objected to any effort to make English the official language of America, and of course so they could find there's a constitutional right to abortion so they could massively expand government control of our lives and gut the very essence of our constitutional guarantees of individual freedom and pit one American against another. It was a great diversion, just as we're seeing the same thing develop, tragically, in Iraq today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we suggest our 4-tape set on Vietnam or certainly our a Vietnam special. But we have so many things. If you'd like to get a free copy of our catalog or a free copy of either our August or September newsletter, our August newsletter tells you what Alan Greenspan really thinks and what Warren Buffett is doing, what the best investor in the world is doing. That's the August newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free newsletter. Our September newsletter deals, of course, with the banking system, the control over the media, and who controls the media, and what they're doing with that control, actually controlling what the American people think. And so, again, the number 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will give serious consideration to getting my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or The Brotherhood of Darkness Special, which includes the video, the book, and the audio tape for only $29.95. But if you're going to get one thing, get that, because it will give you insight into the fact that the ancient mystery religions did have a goal, a one-world government, a new economic system, a new currency, and, of course, a new world religion. We hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us, supporting us in what we do, or perhaps just subscribing to our newsletter, which you can get on a monthly basis. And, of course, we hope that many of you will consider coming to our November 6th meeting. It's an all-day meeting. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we have people coming from across the country. Lunch will be served. We're bringing in some exciting speakers, and I'm really looking forward to the program. That's a Saturday on the 6th of November, and you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 to make a reservation. We look forward to seeing you there. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell your friends about our programs. You know, if people go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, they can listen to our programs directly or indirectly. And, of course, we have archive programs there. Of course, you can go to GCNLive.com or AmericanNewsNet.com and listen to our programs 5 hours a day. Of course, you won't get much of anything accomplished, but you'll get a lot of fascinating interviews. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.